Welcome today to our interview series with Outstanding Professionals. I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and I'm conducting an exclusive interview with Ryan Stogard, top-performing executive and thought leader, director, technical evangelism, Microsoft Canada. Ryan, I was just looking at your profile and all the things that you've done. Wow, it's amazing. Chairman's Award and, you know, Circle of Excellence and all of this. You've done a lot. You've been a real sort of leading executive out there. So, you know, considering your strong history, you know, I really appreciate you coming in today to do this interview.
Oh, my pleasure. Absolutely honored to be here and happy to talk to you.
So in terms of your profile then, and in terms of what you've done in the past, can you describe some of your key roles and maybe some lessons you've learned from those key roles?
Yeah, absolutely. I've absolutely had a very great and fun and challenging kind of career path, to say the least. Probably what would make the most sense to start off with in terms of lessons is very early out of school, I had my own consulting company, and that is definitely one way to learn a lot of lessons. So I'd say running my own business, and really the big lessons I learned in doing that was I'd always tried to look for where can I add value. So in everything that I was doing, I was adding value, because when you have your own business, if you're not adding value anywhere, you're quickly not going to get that business, right? So that was always top of my mind. And in order to really make sure that I could deliver value, especially in an industry like IT, everything's always changing, always advancing, always innovating. And for me, that's what drew me to IT, both from a systems engineering perspective and development perspective. So I always tried to just embrace the idea of I want to add as much value as I can, be agile, always learning, always adapting. And then the other one that I had to learn was also being smart or maybe strategic about what I chose to do. When you're running your own company, you don't have a ton of resources. It's hard to say no. You want to make sure that you're actively involved and you're getting lots of work, but you also need to make sure that there's sometimes it's appropriate to say no, right? So that you can do some other next big thing. So I think adding value was a big one that just stuck with me there, and kind of this ongoing learning and evolving and moving forward. I joined Microsoft about 6-7 years ago, and one of the roles that I had at the time was platform strategy manager, and I had a couple different focuses in that role. But when I first joined in that role, I was focusing on platform strategy from an independent software vendor perspective. And that one really was just so fascinating to me on so many different levels. It was a role where I spent the majority of my time meeting day in and day out with software companies, everything from small startups that, you know, want to be the next big thing to big global companies that have been around for a long time and they're cracking into global markets. And really, the lesson I had there was just the amazing opportunity and innovation and ideas that are just all around us. You know, in the morning, I might meet with a startup and, you know, just their passion and their energy and the ideas and the enthusiasm that they have for bringing their idea to market it's just so energizing. And then in the afternoon, I might be with a large, you know, very seasoned, mature, global enterprise type of software company that's, you know, looking to crack into new markets or anything like that. And it was just, for me, I love, you know, learning new things, seeing how people are doing. I just found that, yeah, opportunities and the ideas that really kind of opened my mind to what's out there. And being new to Microsoft, the global reach of Microsoft was just eye-opening to me. You know, I remember the first couple sales conferences and technical conferences that I attended where we kind of have everyone from the company or a majority of the company comes down and you see people from all over the world. It was kind of an eye-opening perspective. And then probably the last one I'd share with you prior to my current role was I worked directly for our president, Eric Gales of Microsoft Canada, and I was in a role as director of cloud services strategy. And the lesson there really was being a change enabler. One of my mottos, if you will, is, you know, don't react to change, be seen as someone who can help drive positive change, not change for the sake of change, but, you know, where's the opportunity, where's the innovation, how can you help your teams, the business, your customers, your partners, and cloud was a big part of that. So, you know, the idea there that change is constant, let's take advantage of this disruptive change, let's help help our customers, help our partners understand that. And really, from a personal perspective, it was a good opportunity for me, you know, when you think of how do you want to be seen in your organization? How do you want to be seen kind of externally? Again, especially in an area like IT where everything is changing, I think if you can, really embrace that and be seen as someone that people would turn to because you have that expertise, because you have that drive of being able to bring others along to really have change be a very positive thing.
Well, it's interesting when you describe your background, you know, as an entrepreneur and delivering value and being very agile and sort of prioritizing what you're doing. And you talked about making strategic choices and then being the platform strategy manager where you saw so much innovation from small to large enterprises and the global reach of Microsoft. And then you're as director of cloud services strategy where you looked at driving change. And really, I see you saying that seeing change as an opportunity and taking advantage of that, leveraging that. So I can see you taking all of these different pieces and components of your background and taking it to your current role. So can you describe your current role and what you hope to achieve?
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, you couldn't have found a better position. I think for me, what my role is Director of Technical Evangelism at Microsoft Canada. And really, the best way to think of it is what are we trying to achieve? What's the mission? And really, I get an opportunity to lead a very passionate a group of individuals with a mission on driving satisfaction and adoption of Microsoft platform and technology. So really, at the very highest level, that's what we think about day in and day out. That's what I think about. That's what my team thinks about. And what I love about our mission is I think they're interesting counterbalances to each other. When you think of satisfaction, we're talking about how are we helping the developers across Canada, the IT professionals, the IT generalists, the IT managers, what are we doing with students and academia, startups, software companies? Like, the spectrum's pretty broad. And when you think of your goal is really to drive satisfaction across all of those different communities, if you will, that's an exciting and very optimistic type of a mission. And then the other side of that is adoption. So as the organization that I'm in, what we're really charged with is, hey, let's make sure that we're delivering value and people see the value of Microsoft platform and technologies. They believe they can be successful. They believe that Microsoft is strategic in their career and in their business. And then the adoption piece comes into when you look at, you know, very key platforms like Windows Phone, as an example, like Windows. I mean, Microsoft has a long developer and IT history, obviously. So it's a nice counterbalance of let's make sure that we're driving value so that people will create applications for these great platforms. But then at the same time, we're doing that from the perspective of enabling others to be successful.
You know, it's an interesting title, Director of Technical Evangelism. Is that same title used worldwide? Is it consistent or is it specific to Canada?
No, it's fairly consistent. The one that I would say is unique to Canada is the one that I like to use externally is I call my title Director of Technical Community Awesomeness, and that's kind of how I view my team. Is really that's what we're all about. Is we're all about enabling others to be successful, right? So I like to phrase it as Technical Community Awesomeness.
Yeah, I like that.
Unique.
I like that title better. It's catchier.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, you talk about satisfaction adoption. Now, how do you measure satisfaction?
Yeah, that's an interesting one. So we actually have several ways to do that. A lot of it at a high level and kind of more scalable level is we'll do surveys that will go out to developers and to IT professionals that is kind of a global survey that's driven around the world. And then we have the results for Canada. But then on top of that, we're always looking for all the events that we do, the training that we do, the webcasts that we do, even down to blogging and tweeting and those types of things. We're always looking for, what's resonating? Is this helpful? How can we do better? So there's measurement kind of from the very high level, broad surveys. all the way down to, you know, an individual or team level, based on everything that we're doing, we're always trying to measure and make sure that, you know, we're keeping ourselves honest. Are we meeting the needs of our customers and partners?
Well, I know that when I engage with your team, that they're always interested to get my point of view. So that, I know you guys love input.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing. And I think social media, that's part of what I'm particularly excited about, all of these new ways of really connecting and communicating. It's just opening up a whole new level of just ongoing feedback that we can get. And you know, being open and transparent is another thing that I really believe in. You know, so I remember when I first started at Microsoft, you know, at the time it was, you'd go on and you'd do a webcast and you finish the webcast, any questions, and then it's kind of done. Whereas nowadays, you know, as we're doing our planning and as we're planning different events and we're thinking of ways to do things online, I mean, we can get instant feedback from folks such as yourself and a bunch more all across Canada. But we can also just go on Twitter or Facebook or LinkedIn and get real-time feedback. And the other thing that I kind of like too is you get the feedback and then we do something and, you know, how did it land and how can we continually improve, right? And I think if you have that kind of a spirit going into all the activities and, you know, again, coming back to our mission of satisfaction, ideally we try to measure as much as we can just so we know if we're being impactful or not.
Well, it sounds like if I'm part of that survey group out there, I'd love to give great marks because it looks like you really want to engage, and that's exciting.
Absolutely. It's definitely, if you asked my team, that's probably one of the buzzwords that you'd hear from me all the time is definitely engagement. Quite often when you look at, well, just take a step back and think of, we're really trying to reach as broad as possible, as many of Canadians in the IT space as we possibly can. So that's a big challenge, and really it's a scale and reach challenge, but what we always bring ourselves back to is we don't want to just be broadcasting stuff out. You know, we really want to be a team where when we think of the mission of satisfaction, it's all about engagement. If you don't, you know, you can broadcast stuff out, but if you don't get any feedback back, you know, you don't really know until it's too late probably whether you're being successful or not.
Well, you know, we've got this, 35 million Canadians and maybe 1 million plus IT professionals in this country in some form or another, depending, I guess, how you measure it. Now, there must be some way that you're breaking that sort of computing environment down into different groups. And you kind of mentioned it before. You know, you have IT pros, developers, students, managers. So can you specify what those segments are and how you're supporting those segments and why these segments are so important?
Yeah, absolutely. I like to think of it at a high level in two big pieces, like if you think of like a segment. Because it is a really broad spectrum. We're really looking for, you know, satisfaction adoption for the broad Canadian IT ecosystem or software ecosystem, right? So when you try to pare that down a little bit, I like to think of it in two big buckets, which is communities and ecosystems. So we think of it from a community perspective or audiences, however you want to think of it, is we want to make sure that we have relevant content and we're doing relevant events and we're giving great feedback back to the product teams, you know, back at corporate that are building these products and services. So when you think of those communities, it's Canadian developers, and that ranges from someone whose job it is day in and day out. They work somewhere, and that's their craft, that's their profession, is that they develop all day. But we're also seeing, you know, the explosive growth in mobility. Lots of people that, you know, you might want to call them hobbyist developers, where they might have another job, but, you know, they're getting their hands in on development, and they're building games, maybe just because they like to actually do that. That's kind of more of a hobby, or other people see some revenue potential there as a way to make some money. So Canadian developers, IT professionals, again, those are people that would do that day in and day out, but also IT generalists. You know, you think of a lot of people that may not consider themselves an, quote, IT professional. It's not their core job, but they have a passion around technology. That's another huge area. And then I like to think of it from a future perspective. Students and startups is a big area that we focus on as well. And then another key audience is IT managers and developer managers, right, where they're managing a team or they're managing a large group. with bigger goals, right? And when you think of those types of people, it is a very broad spectrum. But what we really try to make sure that we're doing is, can we land and help these people, enable them in their careers or their hobbies and their professions, so that as we're coming out and evolving and iterating on products and services, can we help them understand, you know, what does this mean to your small business? What does this mean to you as a developer? What's the opportunity here for you? How is this going to impact you? And how does this tie back to, you know, growing your skills and enabling you to be successful? That's kind of the broad spectrum of communities. I then talked about ecosystems is another good way to think of it, right? And at the highest level, I kind of think of it as PC, browser, phone, and cloud. Those are all key areas that are not only strategic for Microsoft, but I mean, if you take an even bigger step back and just think of, you know, where are the strategic platforms that the industry is at right now? It's absolutely that, you know, PCs, and actually I use that term very loosely. So, you know, kind of this device proliferation, what's happening in the browser space and HTML5 and all those types of things. Mobility is just absolutely exploding. And then cloud, everything from service, software as a service, to platform and infrastructure. So my team in particular, we're really focused on those ecosystems. But again, as we look at each one of those areas, is we're tying that back to when we think about what that means to your average developer or a hobbyist developer, an IT pro or a generalist or a student or a startup. You know, we see our value is that we can help contextualize this for them.
Now, you talked about community and the ecosystem. So what value are you and your team delivering to the components within the, or the segments within the community, or the particular devices or parts of the ecosystem? And how do you know you've succeeded?
Yeah, it's a good question. And it's maybe one that's not completely obvious at face value, but I talked about it a little bit earlier. When the value that we're really trying to bring is enabling others to be successful with Microsoft products and technologies. Like fundamentally, that's what we're trying to do, because if someone can be successful, they see Microsoft as our technologies, our products, our platform as strategic to their business goals, or maybe at an individual level, Microsoft helps me be successful in my career and advance my skills and development. You know, everything else will come. You will get the adoption of, you know, when you look at, hey, we launched Windows Phone last year. Obviously, we want to get as many applications in there as possible so that the phone is a success. The best way to do that is make sure that we're enabling others to be successful on platform, right? So how do they get started? Tips and tricks. Do we have some champions? I mean, luckily we have lots of them across all of the ecosystems and audiences that you think of. You know, how can we engage with those people and help them share their knowledge? So it kind of comes back to satisfaction and in my mind. And you can measure that, like I said, through a bunch of surveys, ongoing feedback, like myself and my team, what we're always trying to do is, yeah, very actively seek out feedback. How can we get better? Are we meeting your needs? So you can measure that through a variety of means. And then the easier one to do, though, I think is, you know, think of how do you measure the health of an ecosystem? Well, you know, you look at it maybe from two different levels. One level is, and I'll use Windows Phone as a great example. We launched Windows Phone last November. When we go to launch the phone, you know, the charge of admission to be in that phone ecosystem game is, you know, Canadians are going to demand, I need to have the top apps. And that's not just things like Facebook and Twitter and Angry Birds, which is now on our platform, by the way. It's not just those types of ones. It's from a Canadian perspective. You know, am I going to get Hockey Night in Canada on my phone? Is Yellow Pages on there? Of course, Canadians love to check the weather all the time. So we can kind of look at it from, do we have kind of the top Canadian brands and the top apps on our respective platforms is one way to look at it. The other one, though, too, is you really do want to have an ecosystem. So you can look at it through market share compared to competitors. But then also, what I like to think about is success wouldn't be just having kind of the top apps and the top Canadian brands. We do need a true ecosystem around there. So consumers like the platform because they find the apps that they're looking for. They go to the websites, the top Canadian websites, and they have a great experience with Internet Explorer 9. That will then, in turn, drive the developer ecosystem, right? And then that, in turn, you know, creates more of a need for consumers to find more apps. So it's kind of a big cyclical thing when you think of it that way.
Now, earlier you talked about some parts of social media and that you're engaging and using actively social media. So, you know, can you get more specific about the role that social media plays and maybe even particular kinds of social media and how you're kind of discovering the power of it? And maybe you're discovering something new from your use of social media that you may have not have known before.
Yeah, it's a fascinating topic. And I think the best way to approach it, at least from my perspective, is there's so much opportunity there. And there's also so much to learn. And I think that social media in general, that's a good way to go into it, is there's so much that you can be doing and there's lots of different ways to measure it. But for me, the role that social media plays is absolutely critical when you think of going back to the beginning what is my team's mission? Well, really, we're trying to drive success and adoption in the Canadian software ecosystem as broad as possible. Well, that ends up being a scale problem. So very much look at social media as the Twitter, LinkedIn, blogging. There's a bunch of those that are just so core to where people are going to interact with colleagues, to learn more, to grow from a skills perspective, to quote, follow, you know, different people and different brands that are their interests. So, I mean, I think everyone kind of gets that. So it's definitely a way to achieve much more scale. I also come back to what I said earlier, which is engagement. That's in particular, that's what I really value about the social media. Is it's one thing to grow your Twitter followers, for example, but we always look for is we want to make sure that we're having an impact to Canadians, right? To those audiences that we were talking about. And are we using those tools to get the feedback, to share what we're planning, to share what we're thinking in terms of events and strategies and so on. So it's a great way to get engagement. And then once you're looking at things like reach and engagement, there's a whole bunch of tools that you can use to measure kind of what the effectiveness is of that. And I think the other thing that's quite nice about it is it's a way for you to really reach out to new audiences and have different types of interactions and get way more broader exposure from an ideas perspective. And I'll give you a tangible example of that. If you think of the Microsoft traditionally, we have some great what I'd call engines or communication vehicles for reaching out to developers and IT professionals and students and so on, startups. But what about everyone else that maybe, you know, isn't familiar with MSDN or isn't familiar with TechNet? Social media is a great one there because, you know, even just the simple idea of hashtags, right? You can have a tweet, you have an opinion, or there's a great article that you want to share, and then you kind of tie that to mobility or tie it to HTML5 or the cloud or something like that. I think it's a great way for you to just really kind of broaden your audience. And then finally, it's really a great way to build a following. If you do a good job in social media, I think you'll build up a following of people that are interested in what your team is up to or what you personally are up to. And then when you go to do an online event or you go to do a conference or present a topic, again, you get that feedback. But then on top of that, it's an easy way for you to share that with everyone. And ideally, then when you do your conference or your event, you not only have people in attendance, but they're probably, you know, highly interested, highly engaged group of people. So I mean, I just see tons of opportunity, and I think there's still lots to learn as we look at, you know, always better ways to get that feedback, to get that engagement, to reach a broader audience and to measure it. But I see tons of opportunity there.
Well, it sounds pretty exciting, and I'm looking forward to seeing all of this usage of social media from your group. Now, in your current role, what are your top ways of measuring success?
Yeah, there's a few of them. If I take a step back and you're asking me in my role, there's a few big things that I think of all the time. The first one I talked about already, which would be, you know, satisfaction with Microsoft. That's kind of one of my prime directives. So you think of adoption and then also satisfaction. So I talked earlier about ways that we can measure that. And then really what I end up doing with my team then is how do we feel about that? You know, even when we're maybe waiting for the results of a survey, how do we feel about the plans that we have, and how do we feel do we feel that there's value that we're driving to these different audiences? The second one is, how are we doing on an adoption perspective, right? How many apps do we have in marketplace? How do developers feel about these platforms, and are they excited about them? Do they see a lot of opportunity? The other one that I care deeply about is at a team level. So we also have measurement and surveys on my team's satisfaction with Microsoft, and are we meeting their career goals? Am I supporting them, and how am I helping them grow their career and grow their development and give them good opportunities to stretch and grow? So there's a bunch of things there that I'm always very top of mind for me, around what kind of environment am I setting for my team and the organization, and how are we contributing, is definitely top of mind. Market share is another one. So we're always want to make sure that we're keeping ourselves honest and making sure that we're, getting the feedback directly from the various communities, but we're also then looking at the marketplace, right, and gauging how we're doing relative to competitors. And then another one, I just would think of it as future. I want to make sure that, we're not just focused on the here and now. Are we engaging and doing activities that really are going to set our communities and Microsoft Canada in particular up for success? And so there's two big bets that we look at there, which is student and startup. Those are the two areas that are also very top of mind when I think of future focus.
Well, that's quite interesting then, satisfaction, adoption, and then to your team itself, which is kind of the leadership part, right? Team satisfaction, development, and then sort of the broader perspective of market share, and then looking to the future and students and startup. Hey, those are a lot of measures of success.
It's always lots to measure, right?
Now, in your current role, then, what are your top challenges and top opportunities?
I like to think of challenges as opportunities, so I like the question. Probably the first one that I've been talking about a bit is scale. How do we reach as broad an audience as possible? And that is both online activities we talked about, so social media I think is a great opportunity there, but then offline too, right? There's we want to make sure that we're still driving those big conferences that a lot of people get really excited about, and it's our chance to really get out and physically meet and interact with a broad group of developers and IT pros and so on. The other part to that is working with a lot of what I'd call champions, someone who's just really passionate about, let's say, Windows Phone, or someone who's maybe, we have a program at Microsoft called MVP, a Most Valuable Professional, or a Microsoft Valued Professional. And how can we work with those types of people that really are just so key in driving and supporting what we're doing, and it's just another way for us to help reach more people and make sure that we're supporting them. The second one I'd say is on the notion of support, is support and engagement. I talked earlier that, scale is important, but it doesn't really mean a lot if you're just kind of blindly broadcasting a bunch of information. We really want to engage and make sure that people are set up for success, and they can actually do something with the platform and do something with the information at an individual level. And then also support is an interesting one too. How do we scale support so everyone can benefit? And a good example that we try to do on the team is if someone has a question about a particular platform or technology or something like that, we always try to take that question and then make sure that the entire community can benefit from that. Or say there's a side conversation, a lot of the team does, these coffee and code type of idea as we did last year when we were launching Windows Phone, which was someone on my team would you know, announce on social media that they're going to hang out at a coffee shop or something like that. Come on by, let's talk about, you know, the industry, let's talk about phone or mobility or whatever. I like those kind of ideas because you get that kind of nice in-person good conversation, but then, you know, we really view it as our responsibility is to then share kind of what came of that conversation. What do you think the rest, what would you pull out of that that maybe everyone could kind of benefit from, that kind of a perspective? And then the last one I'd say is balance. Maybe this is just because I'm a Libra. But I'm really always thinking about on a bunch of different pivots. Am I doing a good job? Is the team doing a good job? Is Microsoft Canada doing a good job in terms of balance on the activities that we're doing? Are we being effective from a satisfaction perspective? Are we balancing the right activities to drive adoption, to drive career? Like, I think all of those things kind of orbit each other, and kind of going back to what I started with at the beginning, running my own business, is sometimes the best strategy is deciding what you're not going to do, right? So being smart about how we're balancing, you know, the various needs and the resources that we have. So I think those are the top three challenges: scale, how do we drive support and engagement as broad as possible, and balance. From an opportunities perspective, you know, this year in particular, over the next year, I'd say it's probably the most incredible product lineup I've ever seen at Microsoft. So, I just view that as so much opportunity. You know, just recently we announced, the Build conference in September, where that's going to be the big developer conference where we're going to talk a lot about Windows 8, and even just the previews that were done at All Things D, I don't know, a month or so ago. You know, there's just a huge thirst and desire for that. I think that's a huge opportunity. That flows to Windows Server 8. We've got some great stuff happening with Windows Azure. Windows Phone, you know, it's getting great feedback in the market. We've got another release coming, codenamed Mango, getting great feedback. Office 365. We just released HTML. Like, I can go on and on and on. It's amazing. So I see one of the big opportunities for us is we have an incredible array of products and technologies that I really think there's just nothing but opportunity there. The second one I talked about earlier, which is I think I love what my team's doing around social media and balancing online and offline. But I also see that there's just way more opportunity. I think this is an area that's just constantly evolving. A perfect example, Google Plus. You know, came out a week or two ago. That's absolutely going to be a tool that a lot of people are going to look to for sharing and discussing and getting feedback. Absolutely want to make sure that, you know, we embrace that and learn and make sure that we use that as a tool to share if that's where people are going. And then the other, the last one I'll share with you, is the idea of moving, you know, when you think of online and some of the feedback that I thought was great, from people that attended a lot of our in-person events, like Tech Days is a good example. We got a lot of feedback of, you know, hey, I love coming out to Tech Days. I learn a lot. It helps me, you know, in my career, in my job, but, I wish, you know, it kept going. I wish it was ongoing. So the big opportunity that I'm really excited about over the next year, and we just communicated this recently, is we're making a big change with Tech Days in terms of we're going to use that not just as a point in time, like an event, is that we'll continually look to publish content to Tech Days. So great, you go to an event. For those that can't go to the event, though, again, thinking of the across Canada, you know, there's a lot of people that will be able to go to the Tech Days website and get value there. And my team's committed to making sure that we just have an ongoing cycle with regards to Tech Days.
I'm sort of looking at all the different kinds of programs you're running, and you know, you talked about, you know, some of the challenges and the great opportunities that are out there, and you're kind of merging them as well. And you know, and I guess you can sort of look at these as projects, or some of these as projects. So, what are your major projects? You probably discussed them already, and through this dialogue so far. And then, what lesson can you share from maybe some of these key projects?
Sure. Yeah, I guess the lesson that I kind of talked about a little bit earlier. So I talked about the idea of, hey, I see a ton of opportunity in social media, and I think that there's a great opportunity there. So I think I title that as, you know, embracing online to reach as many Canadians as possible. That's kind of a project, definitely, for sure. And the lesson I think I'd share there is, you know, go hard online. So embrace online. And the last topic that I was talking about, the idea that it's ongoing. Very much, you know, if I go back to when I joined Microsoft, a lot of my activities were, you know, meetings with customers or partners. And then when there was an event, it was very point in time. And if you were there, great. But if you weren't, hopefully I'd blog about it, let's say. Whereas now it's ongoing. It's just kind of this constant river of conversation and activities. I think the lesson there is embrace that. And from my team's perspective, we just realized we really need to have a diverse strategy across a number of, you know, if you want to call them channels per se, of how we engage with our audience. The second one that I thought was quite interesting is championing HTML5. And the reason I call that one out is I think there's a good lesson there. And the lesson is, don't go it alone is probably what I call it. This is an incredibly strategic industry shift. You know, I think it was Steve Ballmer a while ago, I believe. He was at a conference and he asked, you know, what's the largest app ecosystem in the world? And they're the largest platform in the world. And people were saying, oh, you know, it's Windows. No. Okay. Is it Apple? No. And his point was, it's the web. The web, like, just dwarfs anything that we, you know, when you think of Windows or you think of Apple or you think of Android or anything like that. The web, it's fundamentally the web. So when you think of HTML5 and some of the capabilities in there, you know, the audio capabilities, the video capabilities, the standards, the fact that you see the big browsers all embracing HTML5, it's a huge industry shift. And coming back to the lesson that I mentioned on don't go it alone, we've done some events recently and some online activities that I just was really proud of in terms of when you really want to have a good conversation around something like HTML5, which the whole premise of it is it's standards based and we want to make sure that, you know, what Microsoft is doing and Google's embracing that as well and Firefox is embracing that. But then it's way beyond just the browsers and you start looking at what's happening on the mobile phone space, right? So there's so many pieces where HTML5 comes in, and we've done some work recently, not just in Canada, but I know some of my peers worldwide, where we're jointly presenting with Google or jointly presenting with Firefox. And I think the feedback that we got from people that participated in discussions or were in these events was phenomenal. And it was encouraging to me because I think they saw Microsoft in a different light in the browser space, for one. And secondly, I think it was a group of individuals that maybe normally, you know, if it was a traditional event that we tried to just completely own, we might not have got the reception. So I think the lesson there for me was on something like that, you know, don't go it alone. And you know, working with some industry partners, some of these big heavy hitters with respect to browsers, mobile platforms is key.
Well, that, you know, that policy, or I guess that approach of being inclusive, I guess that's working, right? Because when you walk into a typical company, you see a variety of kinds of technologies, and what you're doing is saying, hey, we understand what's out there, and you know, we're going to work together because we understand that that's kind of the environment that you're in, and you know, people are going to walk away and say, hey, I like that kind of approach that Microsoft is taking.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it comes off as very authentic, right, and transparent. And that's absolutely something that we need. With the work that we've done with Internet Explorer 9, we have a great story and a phenomenal standard story, but I think people are a little bit guarded when they hear that. So I personally love that kind of approach. I think it's very beneficial for everyone.
Now, many in the audience are business and IT executives, and they see a proliferation of technologies today, and and they hear of new ones coming out. So from your standpoint, what specific technology should these executives be looking for in 2 years or 5 years or even today?
Yeah, I don't think I'll surprise anyone with the first two that I'll talk about, maybe on the third one. The first one absolutely is cloud. And I don't think that's a surprise. I think everyone's probably hearing cloud, everywhere and anywhere. But it absolutely is a very, very strategic opportunity. And I say that from a couple different perspectives. One is at the software as a service layer. So, start evaluating if you aren't already. Take a look at email tended to be when I was in the cloud services strategy role. I had a wonderful opportunity to talk with hundreds, if not thousands, of companies from startups to small, medium-sized businesses to large to global in a variety of industries. And that was, I found most of the initial cloud interest was email, which is fine. You know, look for some of those workloads that you want to do a comparison of what would the value be to online. Then also at the platform level. So if you're companies building applications, one of the nice things about the cloud is it's my favorite word for cloud is elasticity. The idea though, and this is why it's such a dramatic shift, the idea that you can spin up some resources, some computation or some storage, but more importantly, wind that back down again when you don't need it. Let me give you just one example. Say your H&R Block is an example, or your Revenue Canada or something like that, and you have a very seasonal load, or maybe you're a retailer and it's Christmas time and your website just gets hammered with demand. The idea that you could actually kind of burst out to quote the cloud, but then dial that back down again, that is a massive, massive shift when you think of it from an IT perspective. Without that, you're looking at procuring servers at a huge cost. But then you're having to keep those servers, right? So cloud is fundamentally one of the most strategic alignments I've ever seen around an amazing business value and business opportunity that IT can enable. So cloud is the first one. The second one that I just talked about, that I think I get asked about quite a bit and I think is on everyone's mind, is HTML5. And really the thing that I'd say there is really just to keep an eye on it. For some of the listeners, that might mean, if you own or operate a website, start looking at it. Get your developers to start taking a look at it. See what it means to your business. Because really what people are excited about with HTML5 from a business perspective is, it really does look like this is a standard that would allow you to write to HTML5, and it would work across browsers. It could work across PCs and devices. It could work across mobile devices. So that one's very strategic as well, because it frees up your developers from having to go to so many different competing platforms. So that one's an interesting one. The last one might surprise people, but it's kind of critical, especially related to the last two that I just talked about, and that's management. One of the things that really struck me when I was talking about, having this opportunity to meet with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of companies around and talking about cloud was how strategic management is going to be. And when I say management, I mean like systems management. So we're very quickly already and more quickly moving to a world where you have computation and applications that are running on premise. You may have some of those in the cloud. You have virtualized resources maybe inside. You have all these devices, iPads are showing up and tablets are showing up and different types of mobile phones. Management of all of these different platforms and all of these different form factors, and whether something's in your data center or in someone else's data center, absolutely, absolutely critical. So management would be the third one, I'd say.
Yeah, it's interesting you talk about management, and I guess kind of a segue to a broader question about management, and that is, and not really technology related, but you're an amazing leader. You've got this great profile, this great history of leadership. So what are your top leadership tips?
It's a great question. I mean, I recently took over my team just a couple months ago. So I think it's a very timely question, and maybe the best way to approach it would be, you know, how did, as I took over the team, what were some of the things that I kind of tried to do right off the bat, and what I found have worked over the years. One of the things that I try to do immediately is and ongoing that kind of drives me in everything that I'm doing is everyone set up for success and listen. So ask the question, listen, you know. And things will come out like, is the mission clear for everyone? Do people have clear goals and clear accountabilities? And how do we track progress? And when you say, I know when I say that it's just such a given. But, you know, it's an interesting question to ask is, hey, how do you feel right now? Do you feel set up for success? Do you feel like you're tracking towards, you know, where we need to go? It's fundamental, I think, from a management perspective, because if you do all of those things well and you do that well across a team, I think the value that I can add back to my team is the more I understand how each one of them are tracking and are they set up for success, as things come at us and we have to react to different things, you know, hopefully I'm in a position where I can make some good decisions that, you know, are for the betterment of the team, right? And sometimes that's, hey, yeah, you know what? Let's deprioritize that so we can actually do an even better job driving this right now because there's a big urgency or a big need, right? So set up for success is a big one for me. The other principle I kind of like to think about is look for ways to have everyone, starting with me, love their job. That makes the rest of what you're trying to accomplish a lot easier because I've tended to find people, you know, the power of positivity, passion, people are enthusiastic. It's infectious. Like the team as a whole rises to that and it really shines through. More importantly, I think it shines through in how of someone does their job. And when you think of my team and we're trying to add value and make others successful, you know, if people are excited about their job and they're passionate about what they're doing, you know, that I think that it's infectious to others as well. And that's kind of, something that you definitely would want to encourage. Related to that, I think having a bigger sense of purpose, you know, or people, what I ask myself is this person just executing activities or are they on a mission? You know, and if you kind of think of it that way, you get a different kind of behavior as it kind of comes back to, again, as someone who's passionate and someone who's really engaged and excited about what they're doing. And I think ultimately that boils up to culture. I think for me, culture is everything. And I don't want to say the leadership tip is have a good culture. I think the tip that I give is recognizing it's hard to change culture. So instead take charge of it. Is I think the way that I'd put that. And the example that I give you is, instead of changing the culture, have a conversation with the team on, you know, what is it that the team wants to be known for? Like what's the team brand? And if you think of like, you know, imagine others are looking at our team. We want to think about like, what do they think about that team? And ideally, if we're doing it right, people see value of, wow, you know, that team has a track record of, you know, it's just such a great work environment. They deliver on their expectations. They seem to love what they're doing. You know, they're seem to have a great career development and growth. So, you know, thinking of that from a brand perspective and what do you want to be known for? I think you get some good culture that comes out of that by kind of focusing there.
Now, here's a question, and we're down to our last two, and that is, you've given us some predictions about specific technologies, you know, coming up and things that IT executives should look for and business executives. Now, if we were to broaden that picture, can you make some additional predictions, maybe, you know, wider in scope perhaps, about their future, the implications, and how we can best prepare?
Yeah, I talked about a little bit about cloud and mobility that I think are two that, you know, the future is now kind of conversations. And I think those two are going to absolutely explode. So I talked about those already. I think the other one that people, are seeing is the idea of consumerization of IT. So device proliferation, bring your own device. And you know, what we're really trying to do to help prepare is reimagining, what Windows mean? So again, I talked earlier, we have a conference in September on that. But really, what I'd say on there is that piece that ties back to what does Windows mean in that kind of a world, and then tying back earlier that I mentioned on thinking of systems management with all of these different devices. I think that's going to be a big area where there's just going to continue to be more and more wide array of these different devices. And really, that kind of blends into another theme on consumerization of IT, which is, you know, the blurring of work and home and friends and colleagues. We talked about social media earlier. But the idea that you're going to have a bunch of these different devices, and ideally, as you get this device, you can personalize it very quickly, and it helps you manage your work persona, your life or your personal persona, and ultimately, a lot of these things are crisscrossing now. So I think part of that is just being ready to kind of embrace that social media aspect and be prepared for it. The other one is I talked about securing and managing of these devices and these virtual machines and so on, right? So the idea that rather than fighting it, which is natural, but really having a strategy that the expectation is we're going to see that people coming into our organization are going to have these different devices. They're going to have expectations of blurring of work and home life. And how does IT, what strategic role does IT play in your organization in helping make that easy? I can tell you from a Microsoft perspective, we've got a lot to say on it over the next 12 months. And really what we're looking to do is really be best of class in helping from a consumer all the way through to an enterprise perspective, bring all of these things together. The last one that I'll give you is when we talked about social media, I think a theme that I would maybe pop is owning and controlling your online brand and identity. I think my recommendation would be to just start to take an active role in that. It's interesting, just talking to a lot of people, talking to a lot of colleagues, talking to a lot of people in industry. People are looking to LinkedIn. They're looking to, what does, the internet, so to speak, have to say about Ryan Storgard, right? And things like you asked about a tool earlier, Clout, is an interesting one where it's basically a measurement of what your online impact is. And I can tell you from my personal perspective, if I was hiring onto my team, I absolutely would be looking for that. You know, when you think of the goals and think of the mission that I have, I'm definitely looking for someone who's not only great at working with customers and helping enable others, but we need to do that kind of online and to a huge audience. So I think taking ownership and having an online identity is key.
Well, that's interesting, and I could see companies wanting to have a look at this, right? Because everything's moving into the social media arena, and I know when I talk to executives, it's a big concern. So I guess take control of it and embrace it and leverage it for the opportunities it's providing. And you talked about that throughout the interview, right? So
absolutely.
Now, I would call this last question that I'm going to give you sort of like an open space question or platform, and then I'm going to turn the tables and say, if you were conducting this interview, what questions would you ask, and then what would be your answer?
Let's see, what do I get asked? One of the things I love about my job and being spending all of my time focused on the broadest definition of platforms is, you know, I do get to I love new ideas, I love learning new things. And I quite often get asked, like, what am I most excited about? If I had to answer that, I would probably say the future. The future and more so, what I've found over time is what I actually get most excited about, what kind of fuels me, is actively working and participating with others on shaping the future. I think that is what gets me most excited about. And I think when you, I talked earlier at the beginning, as I mentioned, I think I'm in the perfect job. job. The reason for that is you know, it's a very future focused position and team and mission. And that's kind of what excites me and drives me, is getting a chance to work with others, not only within Microsoft, but, you know, across the industry and customers and partners, you know, actively taking a role in shaping our future. The counterbalance that I quite get is what worries me the most. And I talked about this earlier. Probably balance is the thing that I'm kind of always reflecting on. And there's a bunch of different pieces to that. I talked about my team, you know, hey, are they doing too much internal stuff? Is there a way that I can help simplify this and make sure that they're able to have much more time spent, you know, doing what we hired them to do, right? Which is go and help drive community satisfaction. But at the same time, you want to make sure that everyone's collaborating and looped in and you know, we're driving towards our team goals. So balance at a team level, I think at a community level, you know, the thirst for what's up and coming, but also making sure that, you know, it's not disruptive change that we're sending down, right? We need to do a good job ensuring that, hey, as these things are coming and we're excited about them, what does it mean to you and your career? What does it mean to you and your business? And how hopefully we can help contextualize that a little bit. And then I think the last one is, I don't know, what do I look forward to, I guess? And this is probably a timely one, which is why it's on my mind. Traveling. Every year, my wife's a teacher. So every year we travel somewhere in the world, and all of us just love the experience and the adventure and the challenge and the learning around, you know, going somewhere new, and you have a totally different culture, totally different language, different foods. And it's just, yeah, it's kind of an adventure and an experience. So that's definitely what I'm looking forward to. And I'm headed on vacation soon, so that's probably what's top of mind for me.
I could, you know, the travel is, I could see that, right? So, you know, and I like the fact that, you know, you talk about just helping your team. I mean, I see that theme throughout the whole sort of questions, like even your top leadership tips, where you're talking about setting them up for success and being passionate, so you're encouraging them so they have passion for their work and getting involved in some kind of a bigger picture or some kind of a team brand in some way. I mean, I don't know. I could just feel all of your excitement, and it makes me excited.
Well, yeah, and I guess that's another reason it's a good job is, like I said, it's infectious, right? When you get with some people that are kind of wired like that as well. It's definitely infectious. And, you know, you kind of, I'm sure we've all had experiences where, you know, you've helped others or versus yourself. It's a good feeling, right? I think it's good karma too, right?
Well, it definitely comes across in our conversation today. I see people knocking on your door and say, I want to work for you.
That's a good problem to have.
Well, you know, I really enjoyed this discussion we had, this chat, and I'm glad you were able to take some time out of your schedule, because I know you're running a million different things. So thank you for coming in today and sharing all of the different insights and all the different tips and your stories. And you know, we really appreciate it. And I know our audience is going to get a lot of benefit from the interview. So thank you again.
My pleasure. Anytime. It was a pleasure.
I'm Stephen Ibaraki, and this concludes our exclusive interview with Ryan Stogard, top-performing executive and thought leader, director, technical evangelism, Microsoft Canada.